This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Love Fridays. It's a Friday. Here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a Buffalo Football Friday. It's brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Sal Capaccio here with you today on a Buffalo Football Friday where the Bills are on a two-game winning streak and look to extend it to three in Seattle at 4.05 p.m. I think it's kind of weird they're playing at 4:05 and not 4:25. I'm not complaining. You get back a little bit. You know, every minute matters when you're flying back from the West Coast late at night, right? Not complaining about it, but here's why I say that. Let me look at the map. I stand corrected here, but it's still, I guess, most of the country. I assumed that it would be going to most of the country because you have the number one Fox announcing team, Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady. But actually, now that I look at the map of which games are going where, obviously you'll get that here in Buffalo and throughout the Northeast, all the way over to Indy and Cincy, Louisville, down in Kentucky. Like, you're going to get it throughout the Midwest and then, of course, on the West. In fact, all the way down close to L.A. San Francisco is going to get it, Seattle, of course. But maybe I would think a little bit, looks like, actually, all of Texas. So I think more of the country is going to get this game than any other game, but it's very close between that and Green Bay-Jacksonville. And that is Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma. Of course, we'll have the game here for you on WGR Sports Radio 550 and along the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. 4.05 p.m. start. But I thought that was kind of weird that they played at 4.05 because generally when you have a big, you know, doubleheader second start time to the whole country, it's the 4:25 games. The 4:25 games, we're going to get into the schedule later, are Carolina at Denver, Kansas City at the Raiders, Chiefs at Raiders, and the Bears at Commanders. Those are all your 4:25 games. Oh, and then there's another 4:05 game, Saints-Chargers. So where's that other game I was talking about, the Packers one? Hold on. Let me get this again here. Green Bay at Jacksonville is, where is that? Green Bay, that's a 1 o'clock start. So why is this? Oh, Fox Single. I get it. Okay. I'm looking at the map here. So I read this map wrong. So I guess I didn't realize this. So if you get only one game, that's why. So not at the same time those games are being played. But that being said, that means still the Bills game is still going to most of the country. And it's a 4.05 p.m. start, not 4:25, which I think is kind of odd. But that's okay. 4.05 p.m. Ready to rock and roll. Tom Brady's first game announcing a Bills game. Not sure if you've listened to him or not. I think he's gotten better in the short games that I've listened to a little bit. He still is very general in his analysis. He doesn't kind of get too much into the weeds like some of the other announcers, but I do think he's getting better as it's gone on. Turn down your TV, turn up your radio. Chris Brown, Eric Wood, I'll be down on the sidelines. Bills at Seahawks. Now, this is an opponent that we're not super familiar with as far as playing them often, right? We know that. The Bills just don't play the Seahawks very much. It's pretty much every 4 years. that can change based on the new rotation of the 17th game. Like every other year or so, if you finish in the same spot as them, you would play them because of the one extra game that's included. But either way, it's still only a, you know, I guess 25% chance of that happening. So every 4 years, you play the Seattle Seahawks. And the last time the Bills played, I mean, it's been some wacky stuff, to be quite honest with you. The last time the Bills played the Seahawks was in 2020. And there were no fans. Because it was COVID. And the Bills just went out and pretty much like demolished the Seahawks that day. That was, let me go to the actual score here. Josh Allen threw for over 400 yards. That was a November game, which was nice. It was nice and shiny and bright. I remember that game. 44-34, Bills win that game. I think, did Seattle start to come back a little bit? So let's see. Bills had a 24-7 lead. Then it got to 27-20 going into the fourth quarter. And then the Bills pulled away again. Josh Allen in that game, that was his real breakout year. Threw for 415, three touchdowns. He was also Josh Allen was sacked seven times in that game, by the way. That's got to be, I don't know if he's been sacked seven times ever in his career other than that. That's crazy. It was a wild game. Russell Wilson was the quarterback for the Seahawks. He was sacked five times. He also threw two interceptions and threw for 390 and two TDs. It was a wild game back and forth, you know, from an aerial standpoint. But the score-wise, Bills kind of took control. Seahawks climbed back a little bit. And then the Bills wound up winning the game. Okay. Then you got to go back to 2016. Now, this is why I brought this up. Who here, raise your hand as you're driving. Please keep your hand on the wheel in some capacity. As you're listening on your app or whatever. Raise your hand if you remember the debacle at the end of the first half of the 2016 Buffalo Bills at Seattle Seahawks Monday night game on November 7, 2016. By the way, very interesting. Every time these two teams play, it seems like it's right around the same time. I mean, this year it's October 27th. 2016, it was November 7th. 2020, it was November 8th. It's always right around the same time. Raise your hand if you remember the debacle at the end of that game. I'll tell you what happened. It's still, because the reason I bring it up, it's been on my mind all week. because I was there. It was my third year on the sidelines as the Radio Network sideline reporter. It was Rex Ryan and the Bills, and they had a two-game losing streak. And they had, what was their record? They had lost two. They had won four. Then they lost two. So they were 4-4, going to Seattle. They had a bye week the next week. And I remember Rex saying, he just was telling the team, empty the tank, empty the tank, empty the tank. And they did. And I think the Bills played a really good game that day. Way better than a lot of people anticipated against a good Seahawks team. Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback. Came down to the final drive, last play of the game. The Bills kind of got screwed on a late play, because I've been thinking about this because of last night too, where one of their receivers, Walt Powell, got drilled by Richard Sherman in the end zone. Nothing was called. There's a lot of controversy about that. But Tyrod Taylor threw for 289, a touchdown and an interception in this game. Had a nice day, not overwhelming. And the game was marred by a really controversial moment before halftime. I want to get into that and remember that for a second because it kind of plays into like last night watching what happened in the Thursday night game. But let me set up today for you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Of course, every Friday we have Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We are anticipating him at 11 a.m. today. Now, I always say this, you never know. He could call a little bit earlier, he could call a little bit later. So just be ready. Keep your head and ears and everything else on a swivel, as I always say. Sean McDermott at 11 a.m. today. But because we're getting Sean McDermott at 11 a.m. today, that gave me some room to get Paul Peck on at 10:30. Paul, as you know, is the voice of the UB Bulls, football and basketball. And UB has a game tomorrow, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about their season so far. But a big reason I'm getting Paul on is, it's pretty cool, actually. I don't know, people, how many of you remember there, it wasn't too long ago, there was a bowling game on TV called Beat the Champ. And it was really popular. And it went away. It's coming back. And we're going to talk about Beat the Champ coming back with Paul Peck and UB football. It's going to be really cool. So Paul joins me at 10:30, Sean McDermott at 11, and then Patrick Hammer on Seattle weather for game day at 11:30. And, of course, your weather here in Buffalo, which looks to be really good. While it does not look to be really good in Seattle. He texted me last night. Pat did. And he's like, hey, I'm good to go for tomorrow. It's not just the rain. Let me tell you what's going on. I'm like, oh, my God. Here we go. Here we go. I mean, we've had some good weather, though, lately. So I can't complain too much. But when you go to Seattle, November, late October, you know that there's a chance that it's going to be rainy, cooler. And that's going to be the case. But Pat's going to give us the full rundown at 11:30. So end of the half, 2016. Raise your hand if you remember. If you can call, by the way. We had open phone lines right now. Whatever's on your mind on the Bills and a Buffalo Football Friday, we'll just kind of open it up for you till 10:30. 803-0550. Got a question, comment, concern, something about Seattle? Remember this game in 2016? How about past Seahawks games? I told you, wild things have happened. Do you remember the game? This was the game where didn't they go into Seattle in 2000? It was right... Wade Phillips said basically they had no chance to make the playoffs when they actually did. And that really ruffled a lot of people wrong. And then they wound up losing the game. It was like, almost like they gave up. Like, and said, oh, we can't win and we're not going to make the playoffs. And they were actually very alive for the playoffs. It was very weird. This is like late 90s, early 2000s, actually. I remember that one, too. That was Kingdom. So end of the first half, 2016. Dan Carpenter is the Bills kicker. Let me get to the play-by-play. I just went back. You can watch this on YouTube. It's going to be frustrating to you. It was frustrating to me, and it's been sticking out to me all week. And honestly, it's like I know that it's completely different teams, completely different coaching staffs, and 8 years later, eight freaking years later, and I'm like, they got robbed. The Bills got robbed in this game, and they need to go to Seattle and make up for it because it was so frustrating. With 11 seconds left, the Bills are at midfield in this game, and they're down, I think it was at the time, they were down, here we go, 11 points. Really nice pass, Tyrod Taylor to Robert Woods for 15 yards. Gets to the 35, and the Bills call timeout. There's 3 seconds left, and then complete madness ensued. Dan Carpenter comes on for a 53-yard field goal. Okay? What happened, though, was Richard Sherman jumped the snap on purpose. He said it after the game. He jumped it on purpose to not let the kick get off. While he does that, he leans into Carpenter's leg as Carpenter's kicking the ball. The play is blown dead as Sherman is running into the kicker. It's blown dead because he's completely offsides. He's unabated to the kicker. Carpenter gets hurt. He's offsides. Carpenter gets hurt. They call the offsides. Okay, we're going to move it up 5 yards. But here's what happened. Because he got hurt on the play where he was completely roughed and ran into and drilled illegally by Richard Sherman, the trainers had to come on the field. And because the trainers came on the field, they charged the Bills with a fourth timeout. Okay, that's fine, except for one thing. Because of that, and they had no timeouts left, he had to leave the field for one play, Dan Carpenter. He got drilled. It was unnecessary roughness. The trainers come out to check on him, but, oh, yeah, sorry. Because even though Richard Sherman did that, he has to leave the field for one play. Even though the clock is stopped, it doesn't matter. So the Bills are like, what do we do? What do we do? They run Jonathan Williams, a running back, onto the field to take a snap and spike the ball. Okay. We'll just get him out for one play. We can do that. It's first down anyway. Smart play, actually, by the Bills. Smart play by Rex Ryan and his coaching staff. They spike the ball. Carpenter goes back out to kick the field goal. Now it's actually only going to be a 53-yarder. Now it's a 48-yarder. Okay. The kick is good. All right, everything's all good. No, wait. It's not. Why? The Bills are called for delay of game. Go back and watch. On the delay of game, the referee, the line judge, umpire, I guess it is, would be, was standing over the ball holding it not to let the play start. And the rule actually states once he releases that, that's when the play clock's supposed to start. They never reset the play clock. So the Bills were charged for a penalty for delay of game after he made the field goal. And it should have been a delay of game. So they had to move it back 5 yards. Guess what happened? He missed. The Bills go to halftime down by 11. And it was super important because you get to the end of the game and at that point, the Bills are down. What's the score? 31-25. It's a six-point game. If the Bills score a touchdown, they win. They would have just needed a field goal to tie it, send it to overtime, but they had to go for a touchdown. And they get down to the Seattle 8-yard line. Tyrod gets sacked. Next play, incomplete to Robert Woods. Game over. Ah, frustrating. Anyway, I had to bring that up. Because last night, as you all watched, I'm sure, have heard about, talked about, whatever, the officials botched it last night. Now, they missed a call. It happens. I am generally one to say, officials are human, man. They're not going to be perfect every time, every call. And I don't want to see plays reviewed all the time. I don't want to see penalties reviewed all the time. There's holding all the time. Are we really going to review every play for holding, pass interference? Just, you got to live with bad calls. It just happens in sports. But last night was just so egregious. The face mask in the end zone, there's two officials standing right there. And their explanation was they didn't get a good look. If you look, they're standing right there and looking at it. I can at least respect one part of this from the official's point of view, which was, hey, I didn't see if they actually grabbed the face mask from my view. But man, how do you miss that when you're so close and there are two people standing right there? It's a really good example of why, if you're on the side of having those types of things reviewed, why that should happen. Because inside 2 minutes, right? I mean, here's what happened. It was an eight-point game. And I don't know. I don't think the Vikings go down and score and get a two-point conversion. They might. They had to go 97 yards in a minute and a half. They could do that. I mean, they have Justin Jefferson, right? He had like a 97-yard touchdown just a few weeks ago, heck. So it could happen. But, I mean, it still would have taken a lot for that to happen. And that gave them a safety, the Rams, so they scored 2 points. It made it a 10-point game. Game over. So maybe in that situation, inside 2 minutes of a half, inside 2 minutes of the first half, 4 minutes of the second half, whatever, something. Maybe something that's clear and obvious that isn't subjective. Pass interference is subjective. Yeah, you could say it's clear that it was pass interference. It's still a subjective call. But grabbing a face mask, like you could see it. Maybe we can get to a point where that can be something reviewed. Because you got to feel for Vikings fans today going through that the same way I think you felt for the Bills and their fans and all of you out there listening in 2016 when Dan Carpenter came on the field and Richard Sherman destroyed him. And the referees botched that in many ways. And by the way, I went back and read a couple articles about that. Go look it up. Watch it from 2016 and go read the articles from postgame about it. Like New York, the officials, they admitted they screwed all that up. And it was Dean Blandino at the time. Dean Blandino was the guy on TV. And he's like, yeah, they completely screwed this up. I thought about that last night, watching this night game and thinking about the Bills in Seattle. Let's hope nothing like that happens to the Buffalo Bills this weekend. Let's hope they just kind of put the game away like they did back in 2004 when they went to Seattle on a heater. Remember the Bills in 2004? That's the year that, unfortunately, the Steelers' backups beat the Bills and kept them out of the playoffs. But if you remember that year, the Bills started 0-4. Then they beat the Dolphins, then they lose again. And they're 1-5. Then they win 2 games, 3-5, and then they lose their 3-6. Then they go on a heater. Rams, Seahawks, Dolphins, Browns, Bengals, Niners just kept destroying them. And they were destroying teams. They were scoring 37, 38, 42, 37, 33, 41. And then the Steelers beat them. But that game in Seattle was one that stands out. And they went out to Seattle and they just crushed the Seahawks in that game. Drew Bledsoe, Willis McGahee, 38-9 in that game. So I'm telling you, just Seattle just kind of, you're reminded of some things that have happened over the years with these two teams, right? They also played in Toronto in 2008. And the Seahawks destroyed the Bills. I never went to one of the Toronto games. The Toronto series basically ended right before I came back to Buffalo, right around that time. I never went to one of the Toronto games. And thankfully, it would have been nice just to see what it was like and experience it, but I hated the concept and the whole deal that went down, as I'm sure many of you did. But that year, 2008, the Bills, let me just look at this. It was not 2008. I apologize. That was 2012. I said 2008. It was 2012. It was the year after. That might have been one of the last games there, but where's the Seattle game? Oh, yeah, there it is. December 16th. 50-17 in Toronto. Yikes. That was Russell Wilson, Denoris Searcy, who kind of checked out on a play when he's running for a touchdown, it looked like. Remember that one? Bills and Seahawks. Bills need to create some memories this week against a Seahawks team that can play very, very... What's the term we use in high event hockey, right? We say high event a lot of times, Josh, in hockey. They play a high event game. The Seahawks play high event games in football.
That's always a fun time, though. I mean,
usually, it can be.
Like, it's from a perspective of, like, I don't care who wins. That's always a fun time.
Yeah, they can be like big time plays or against them big time plays.
Right.
They play a high event game. The Bills can be like that. Not as much this year. They have been in the past. All right, let's open up the phone lines. Good stuff today to start the show, hopefully with you at 803-0550, Paul Peck at 10:30, Sean McDermott at 11, Pat Hammer at 11:30 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Clover in Texas. Always good to talk to you, Clover. How are you?
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm looking forward to the game. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for the offense. Looking at some of the games the Seahawks play, they give up a lot of yards. Yeah. Even the game last week they won. Saw they gave up a lot of yards passing and on the ground, but then I heard you this morning say that Atlanta had like the three turnovers.
Yep.
So I know you had mentioned the trade they made this week for the Tennessee linebacker, and I was wondering how did he fare when he was playing the Bills last week? I mean, I know he had a lot of yards, but I was just wondering if you noticed him making an impact last week.
Well, obviously not as much as he would have liked or they would have liked, because the Bills won 34-10, right? That was good.
Right.
But let me take a look at his stats right here. So that would be Ernest Jones the fourth. He was on the field. Here we go. Ernest Jones the fourth. He made 5 tackles, had 1 quarterback hurry and a pass defense. So he was involved a little bit, but you know, this is a guy that fits into their system. They really like. I think the reason why they made the move, I think they wanted to move Tyrell Dodson out of the middle and put him at weak side, and that allows them to do that here.
Okay, was that where Tyrell Dodson was playing with the Bills?
It was, in place of Matt Milano last year. Yes, he played both over his career. He actually played both. If you go back his career in Buffalo, he had filled in for Tremaine Edmonds in the middle, he had filled in for Matt Milano, and then last year mostly filled in for Milano when he went down.
Okay. Well, that's going to be interesting to see both guys,
yeah.
Dodson and the guy you just mentioned, are familiar with the Bills. So that'll be interesting to see how...
And Clover... You know who their assistant head coach is? It's Leslie Frazier.
Yeah. I just read that yesterday.
Yeah,
well,
so.
I know I had heard that in the past, but then I was reminded of it. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they do. I wonder if, yeah.
Thanks, Clover.
I'm excited. Thanks.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in Rochester. Hi, Chris. Hold on. There you go, Chris. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I appreciate you and everything you do, Buffalo. What does the play assist? Ooh, what does that do? How come that doesn't help on like that?
Well, because they can't assist on penalties. Just simple as that. Really, that's what it comes down to. They can't assist on any penalties. It's really more about catches, touchdowns, first down spots. That's really where that comes in.
But don't they assist on kind of penalties, like when punches are thrown, if a player should be kicked out of a game and? I mean, that's...
No, I don't think they do. That's stuff that comes from the field, and that's stuff that they get fined and adjudicated after the game, essentially. But that would be... If I remember correctly and know it correctly, I don't think they do that, but that would be a different thing. That's not an in, like, the play scenario. And if it is, that comes from the official. So, no, I don't believe they do. And people, one other question someone asked me, Chris, which is a good question. Well, it's a scoring play. All scoring plays are reviewed, so why didn't they review it? Well... You can review everything about the scoring play if it was a score, but you're not reviewing the penalty part of it.
Right, right. Okay. And maybe that's something that they need to add in, you know, not to a coach's challenge per se for the penalties, but the booth review or the booth help assistance on penalties like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. The league has generally, I mean, the one year they did, thanks, Chris, go to a, you know, review pass interference, but it just didn't work out. Nobody's really kind of wanted to revisit that again, I guess. But that's that. They don't review penalties from upstairs. They do review and take a look at guys, you know, hey, the neurologist says to get that guy in the tent for a head injury. That definitely happens. Let's go to Bill in Old Forge. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Sal. The only thing I remember from that Seattle game years ago was Stevie Johnson put a move on Richard Sherman that they were playing on the internet the next day. Like, I'm talking an ankle breaker move going over the middle. It was like a double basketball move. That's the only thing I remember from that game, but you can still to this day even find that on the internet.
I love it. Stevie did that to a lot of guys. Appreciate it, Bill. We'll take a timeout here. And of course, as we always do on a Friday, we'll be back in a snap. It is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Paul Peck on the way next on UB Football and the return of Beat the Champ.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Snap to C.J. Reed, option handoff. Al J. Henderson got a big hole up the middle. There he goes at the 50, at the 40, at the 30. Can he outrace everybody at the 20, at the 10? Yes, he does! Bullseye! Al J. all day for a 68-yard touchdown.
That's Paul Peck on the call right there. The UB Bulls and the Bulls Radio Network. That game tomorrow. Tomorrow, by the way, more from the Bulls right here on the Bet 1520, actually. And the Bulls are going to be taking on Ohio. They're at Ohio tomorrow. That's a 12 p.m. start. We'll have the game for you, like I said, on the Bet 1520. And that's where you can hear Paul Peck on the call. And Paul joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good Friday to you, buddy. How are you?
Man, I do get a little worked up. Sometimes when you hear yourself back like that, you're like, geez, I need to calm down just a little bit. But that was a big moment in the game, and it was a big touchdown, so I guess I'm okay there.
Yeah, no doubt. And listen, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's okay to get revved up and worked up. That's what makes it exciting. That's what we love what we do, right? You get into the game, and you'd rather have that than someone just kind of, you know, calling a touchdown and sounding like they're being completely boring and not giving the fans what they want. I'm going to ask you, though, that game, 48-41. The Bulls had their chances late. What did you see from the end of that game? You know, kind of how it all played out at the end for the Bulls to kind of not close the deal.
Well, you know, I mean, again, it was surprising that the Buffalo defense that has really been the hallmark of the team this year kind of got ripped apart for 48 points like it did. But on the flip side, the offense's ability to answer and have the quarterback C.J. Agbonah go over 300 yards for the first time in his career and really show that Buffalo might have a really good passing game was an excellent sign. You know, they fight their way back. The whole stadium thinks Sean Dolak makes a stop on fourth down that would have given them the ball at the 35-yard line with 48 seconds to go and a pretty good chance to either tie or win. and then a really questionable officiating spot that gives Western Michigan a first down by, and I'm not exaggerating, an inch and a half maybe, which I think it was clearly spotted wrong because the drive started at the 25, Sal, and the ball had to get to the 35, and it didn't, even though it got beyond an inch beyond the sticks. There was some mistakes made there, and it hurt. But as Pete Lembo, the head coach, said, that there were other plays that led to that. That wasn't why the Bulls lost, but it would have made for an even more exciting finish. Now Buffalo has to bounce back, forget all of that, and go tomorrow to a place they haven't won since 2008. So there's some challenges coming in, but it looks like this is a pretty solid upper half, if not right, competing for a MAC championship Buffalo team this year.
Yeah, for sure. If you look at the standings, yeah, they dropped the game, but I mean, they're still 2-1 conference play, and they still have everything they want in front of them. They're playing a really big game this week against likewise 2-1 Ohio. So what do we know about Ohio in this matchup and how the Bulls can attack them?
Well, Ohio has always been one of the best, most consistent teams in the MAC, back-to-back 10-win seasons. But in the day and age that we live in college football, they lost all their important players. Their quarterback from last year, Curtis Rourke, is the guy leading Indiana to its undefeated season. So it's not quite the same Ohio team that it's been. They're good. They're solid. Again, it's a really tough place to play, Buffalo in particular, but most of the MAC has never played particularly well there. So that, you know, that's got to end for the Bulls to figure out a way to go down there and maybe beat an Ohio team that isn't quite as high caliber as it's been in the years. And really, it's a pivotal game for the Bulls because their schedule gets technically easier with some of their opponents down the stretch. They've got the tiebreakers over two of the teams that figure to be at the top of the conference in Northern Illinois and Toledo, thanks to their wins. So these are the kind of games that you gotta win, then you gotta win the games that you're supposed to win, and then all of a sudden maybe they're in a chance to go to Detroit for the MAC championship. But yeah. Again, the defense has got to go back to the defense that we saw earlier in the year, not the one that gives up 48 points on a lot of yards on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule going forward. If you get this game, there's some opportunity in front here for them to be right in the mix at the end of this season, Paul.
Technically, the fourth easiest schedule in the country remaining,
okay,
based on the NCAA. And there's some teams at Akron, and Kent State's winless, and Akron has struggled. And so, yeah, absolutely, there's a chance to push some wins together. That's why this one, which is never an easy team to beat and a place to win, you know, could be pivotal for where the season goes for them.
Before we move on and talk about Beat the Champ returning, basketball season is right around the corner as well. And I know Coach Halkovich, this is his second year, obviously, running the program. A lot of changes had to be made. And as you said, in this day and age of college sports, a completely new roster, basically, heading in. But I know you're gearing up for that. And what can we expect, you know, coming up here in the next, I guess, several weeks before basketball?
Yeah, I mean, there's 11 new players on the team, and the core of the guys that are coming back were freshmen last year that showed some signs of being pretty good players. Ryan Sable, Anquan Boldin Jr., those guys played well in spurts as freshmen. They're sort of the leadership core group of the team now because a lot of the new players of those 11, most of them are freshmen, a lot of international players, a couple of very promising players from London, England. So it's a very much a new look team. And at this point, not a lot of expectations based on the MAC preseason poll. And it's just a matter of, you know, how coach can get everybody going in the right direction. Maybe he's uncovered some gems. So it's a work in progress, right? Again, it was he inherited a team with some players that didn't fit what he wanted to do last year. Those players have moved on. He's kept the ones that he brought in that do fit what he wanted to do, and then brought all these new guys in. And it's how quickly can you mesh together? And, you know, we've seen the good coaches and the good organizations in this day and age of college athletics, it doesn't take 3 years to ramp up anymore because you don't really get 3 years anymore. Look at football, a new coach,
yeah,
bunch of new players have meshed together, and you know, and all the positives we're talking about under Coach Lembo means you can do it in 1 year, and I think that's where coach is looking for the men's team at UB.
I had a text from a friend of mine who I went to Syracuse with who works in Pittsburgh ask me about Alan Green and what Pitt is getting in the new UB and their new Pitt athletic director. He worked at UB and obviously oversaw a really nice time period here, especially on the basketball side. But you got to work alongside and with and get to know Alan Green a little bit. So what are they getting over there?
Allen's terrific. Yeah. Allen was the assistant to Danny White when he came in, and then when Danny White left, Allen took over as the athletic director in that mid-2000 teens there when Bobby Hurley and Nate Oates got the basketball team going, when Lance Leipold got the football team going. Allen's a former Notre Dame baseball player, minor league baseball player. He's been an athlete. He's been a college guy. He was the AD at Auburn. Allen's just a great personality, just the kind of guy people gravitate to. He has the athletic mindset. He's worked at schools like UB, schools like Notre Dame, AD at Auburn. So he gets it. Now, all that said, every AD that gets hired this time of year has to figure out where the NCAA is going, and they don't even know where they're going. So it's a constantly evolving process. But if nothing else, they're getting a great guy and a terrific leader in Allen Green.
He played in the Yankees organization. World Series starts tonight. Are you a Yankees fan?
No, not at all.
What are you, Red Sox?
I'm a Mets fan.
Mets. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yep. That was passed down from my dad, who was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan.
Okay.
And when the Brooklyn, you know, the evolution of baseball in New York is you either rooted for the Yankees,
yeah,
or back in the day, you rooted for the Dodgers or the Giants. When they went to California, you absolutely never inherited the Yankees as your team. Then the Mets come in. And that's kind of where I got my love for the Mets. So I find it very hard to. I'm intrigued by the Yankees. They're fun to watch, but you know, there were plenty of days in my youth sitting with my buddies around the lunch table arguing because I wasn't a Yankee fan and they were in the 70s and they had an awful lot to hold over my head. So I just can't do it, Sal. Can't bring myself to root for them.
It's okay. I actually, there's a really great documentary, the 30 for 30, called The Uncivil War, about the Yankees and Dodgers rivalry that goes back to then. It's amazing. The 50s. And
I can't believe this is the first time they're playing in the World Series since like 77,
it's
right?
It's incredible.
That blew me away when I heard that.
I know. It's going to be fun. That starts tonight. But also, starting this weekend, the return of a very, very popular radio show. You know, in Buffalo, we love our football, our hockey, our chicken wings, and our bowling. Maybe not even in that order, Paul, but here we go. Beat the Champ is coming back. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so obviously Beat the Champ was on for about 5 years, 2016 to 2020. Then we stopped it during the pandemic. And credit to the guys who run the bowling centers in Western New York, the Bowling Proprietors Association of Western New York. They wanted to bring this show back. They understand people liked it. People appreciate it. It's a popular sport. It helps them grow their sport. So we figured out a way to get it back, and it's going to be on MSG now, and it won't look anything like the show from before. We've got an executive producer, Joe Chacone, who's a Buffalo guy, a former Pro Bowler, and a current TV production guy. That's what he does as his profession. He works on the Fox and ESPN bowling broadcasts, and he is bringing that same look, the same graphics, the same set, the big digital scoreboards are coming back. So the show's going to debut tomorrow night on MSG. 9:30 is the airtime tomorrow night on MSG. They'll rerun it Sunday night at 8:30 and then again at midnight. And it's just the quintessential Buffalo show, Sal. It really is. It's a bunch of guys bowling, right? And we had guys that are plant workers and machinists and exterminators and delivery guys. Like, these are who are on the show. Where else can you find your neighbor, your buddy, your friend, your uncle? You're like, hey, there he is on TV. He's bowling. And the competition is great because the sport is so good in this town. And it's just a fun show. And it's kind of why I got involved in it years ago. A little bit of the keep the tradition of Chuck Healy and Van Miller, who did this show in the 70s and the 80s. I get to work with an awesome bowling Hall of Famer in Sue Novoisky, and she's so good, and she knows her stuff, and she's great at TV, and we just have fun showcasing a sport that doesn't get a lot of attention. And I've had more people, and I hope more people will continue to just say, hey, I'm flipping around and I saw that and I watched it. I don't even like bowling, but it's such a cool show and it's so Buffalo and it's so different that people watch it. I mean, it's just, there's not a lot of local sports production going on in Buffalo, you know, outside of some high school football here and there. So I think we've got a little niche of just something different and cool.
Well, when you talk about how the show was on a few years ago, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, people might be listening going, wait, I remember that show from a long time ago, right? I'm reading this press release. It says 1959 through 89, Chuck Healy and Van Miller. I mean, amazing.
Yeah, I didn't even know it went back that long. I always remember it from the 70s. But
yeah,
I mean, think of those two guys, right? You know,
yeah.
When I got here to start to work with Van at Channel 4, the tail end of the 80s, the show was just kind of coming to an end. But I remember it, and I remember Van telling me how important it was. And we would cover some bowling tournaments throughout the course of the year. And that kind of sounds strange in the sports world of professional sports and everything else going on. But I always remember Van saying, hey, in this town, this is big. This means something. So it's got a great tradition. People remember watching it as kids. Some of the names from back in those shows are still names that people remember. And like I said, it's just the ultimate Buffalo show. It's just a bunch of Buffalo guys who bowl 3-4 nights a week around town in their leagues. Compete, you qualify to make the show, and then if you keep winning, you get to stay on the show, and that's what's pretty cool about it.
All right, and then one more time, tell everybody where they can watch, when they can watch.
So it's Beat the Champ. It'll be on MSG this time, which is a little different place than we were on the last time, but it'll be right on MSG, which is, you know, where the Sabres games are, of course, and a lot of good sports there. It's going to debut tomorrow night, Saturday night at 9:30. And then it'll rerun again on Sundays at 8:30. And moving forward, it should be sort of in that time frame, depending on Sabres games and things like that. But and again, it looks great. We've got great graphics and great scoreboards and stuff. It looks no different than any network bowling show you might happen to catch on any of the other networks. So I'm really happy with it. I'm really proud of it. And you know, check it out. Again, it's just whether you're a bowler or not, it's just kind of a fun show to watch, and we try to have some fun with it as well.
Thanks for letting us know about it. Safe travels to Ohio. Have a great call tomorrow.
Thank you, Sal. Appreciate the time very
much. All right,
much.
You got it. That is Paul Peck on the Western Hotline. Great stuff there. Beat the Champ. That's pretty cool that's coming back. I was a bowler in high school. I wasn't a great bowler, but I was a bowler. I was like the only football player on the bowling team in my high school. I actually was on the bowling team. And I think my high game was like 240 something like that. But that's, you know, it's pretty good, right? Pretty good. But I didn't reach that very often. I was just a guy, like, I was there. I liked having fun. I bowled a little bit, yeah.
You a wee bowling guy?
I have wee bowled, yes. I have.
That's,
I haven't done it
in
a long
time. That's where I'm good.
I got to see if there's one for that. I told you, I do a VR workout. I do the Les Mills body combat workout. That's what I do in the morning.
That'd be cool, amazing. On VR.
Yeah, I know. I got to see. That's a good thing. Maybe I can do that. But anyway, Beat the Champ coming back this weekend. UB Bulls in action tomorrow against Ohio on the Bet 1520. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll talk for a minute. Then we'll take another break and get you ready for Sean McDermott with a very important injury update on the Buffalo Bills this weekend as they take on the Seattle Seahawks. That comes your way at the top of the hour. Okay, got a couple things coming over right now that I'm looking at. NFL news. Number one, the Steelers have apparently signed Andy Isabella to their practice squad. Now, I wonder, think about this for a second. There was a lot of stuff going on, rumors, talk about maybe Cooper Kupp being traded, and the Steelers were a team that was very much talked about being in that mix. The Rams went out yesterday. They won. After the game, Sean McVay's like, yeah, there's really nothing to those reports. Cooper Kupp is here. It's glad to have him, and I expect it to stay that way. I wonder if the Steelers are now like, okay, we're not getting Cooper Kupp, so now let's see who's out there we can bring in and just kind of help out our receiving core on the back end. I'm not telling you Andy Isabella's Cooper Kupp. What I'm saying is that screams to me like maybe they're adding someone else because they couldn't get the guy they wanted, so they have to figure other things out and see where it goes. Maybe. We'll see. Do the Rams really want to trade Cooper Kupp? I mean, at this point, they shouldn't. They're back in the mix here in the NFC West. That's why this game with the Seahawks this weekend against the Bills is very important to them as well. That division is very tight right now. Here's the other thing. This just coming over a few minutes ago, or about an hour ago, I guess. Apparently, season ticket holders of the Miami Dolphins have been informed that the Dolphins will be hosting an international game next year. The location is not known yet. Madrid, Spain has been thought of as where they'll be. Because I do know the NFL is going to play in Madrid next year. But it doesn't have to be. It could be London. They've played in London before. But apparently the Dolphins are going to host an international game next year.
Bills, Dolphins in Spain. Let's go.
I mean, I would not like that. That's a division
game. Oh, that's fair.
In Miami. Well, it'd be good to get it out of Miami. It's a division game. It hurts them. But that's a great place. Bills fans love to go to Miami. And they take over the stadium. So it's okay. I mean, you want to do that.
We'll just go take over Spain.
Yeah, that's right. We can do that too. I read yesterday a lot of Bills fans at the airport going to Seattle this weekend. So expect a lot of Bills Mafia. And of course, you know, I go on these radio shows in these other cities all the time when the Bills are playing. And they always ask me, do we need to watch our tables? People going to be breaking tables when they come here? It's like, you know, like, no, I think you're okay, but you never know, right? I mean, you see them go through the airport sometimes. They're getting checked in, so.
Stock up on your blue cheese.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we are going to take a timeout here because Sean McDermott is scheduled to join us at the top of the hour. The Buffalo Bills head coach will give us a very important injury update. Obviously, a lot of eyes on Terrell Bernard and whether or not he'll be available for Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks. We'll talk with him about that and look ahead to the Seahawks game on Sunday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Josh Schmidt producing. Good to be with you. Sean McDermott up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app